There's many ways to weather the storm. The number one way is collecting more first-party data, which means get more email addresses. And this is something that, you know, info product businesses have been doing for a very long time, building a list. E-commerce businesses have typically not put a lot of work into building an email list. Generally, it's been overlooked, right? It's been just sort of like, hey, if we can just get a great ads funnel working, that's all we need. You need to collect first-party data and sell these people over email and focus on the lifetime value of your customer, not just the average order value of the customer.
It's time for the Video Marketing Value Podcast. This is the podcast where we help marketers and business owners just like you get more value out of your video marketing efforts. My name is Dane Golden from VidiUp.tv, where we help you up your game on YouTube for business and transform your viewers into loyal customers. And VidTarget.io, where we help you get a higher return on your YouTube ad spend with targeted YouTube placement lists. Along with my co-host, she's Gwen Miller. Hello, Gwen.
Hey, Dane. I'm happy to be here today.
Hey, and what's your whole thing, Gwen? What do you do?
So I work with creators and brands, and I help them make sense of their digital video data. I've worked with people like Kim Mori, Adrian Houghton, Tori Spelling, Jeannie Mai, Icon, among many others. Companies like Kin, Endemol Shine, Discovery, and Branded Entertainment Network. And through it all, I've developed a passion for digital marketing that I love to share.
And we love when you share it with us. And for the listener, you should know that, as always, you can follow along on your podcast app with all the links we talk about. And today we have a special guest. It's Matt Johnston of Guide Social Global. Welcome, Matt.
Thanks so much for having me.
We're excited because, Matt Johnston, you've run video content for folks like New York Magazine, Business Insider. You've written the popular book, Producing Empathy, The Secret Method I Use to Get 100 Million Views on Videos Online. And you run the podcast, the only podcast in the world that's better named than this podcast. Yours is the Video Marketing Podcast, as opposed to this one, Video Marketing Value Podcast. So I'm going to continue. Your agency, Guide Social Global, helps Shark Tank clients with e-commerce. And I've been following what you've been saying about iOS 14, this changeover in how iOS is going to prevent some ad tracking. And Gwen's going to ask our first question about this today.
All right.
Okay. So let's just start with the basics. So iOS, it's Apple's operating system for iPhone and iPad. Let me know if I've gotten that wrong. But can we just kind of talk about generally how much of online traffic is truly mobile these days? And why is iOS so important in that ecosystem?
That's a good question. I don't know what the exact stat is of mobile, but my clients, it's about 90%-ish.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm personally not surprised. I know what the brands I've worked on just from in terms of video traffic, like 80% of our traffic, you know, typically comes from mobile.
Yeah, it's only us marketers, you know, that sit on our computers all day and consume stuff. Average folks, you know, they use their phones for everything. They can't be bothered with laptops.
It's true. And so iOS, like, you know, why is it such a big deal that these changes have come to iOS? Like, why is iOS important in the mobile ecosystem?
Well, it's hard not to explain it without getting a little, like, geeking out a little bit.
Let's geek out. We want to
get in the weeds a little bit. At the most basic level, Apple. Let's take a step back. The way that you are tracked online, so that you're advertise so that you can be advertised to with the perfect message at the perfect time, so that, you know, when you go to a site and then you go to Instagram and, you know, you're not surprised that you get an ad from the company's website that you just went to. This all works through the magic of what is called the Facebook pixel. On Google, it's called a tag, you know, I mean, whatever. It doesn't matter. It's all the same. It's a third-party cookie. So these third-party cookies are little pieces of code that live on every website that installs them, which is every intelligent website. And they pick up all the information of the people that come there. And it's like a little dossier on you as it sends it back to Facebook. So it's called a third-party cookie because I have this little piece of code on my site. I don't ever get that data or see that information. That data comes, that person comes into my site and their data goes out to Facebook, Google, Pinterest, Snapchat, TikTok, whoever. I don't see it. So it's third party. A first party cookie is like Google Analytics. So that information comes in, I gather that information. The thing about third party cookies is they're increasingly becoming seen as an intrusive and threat to privacy, and are going to be basically probably illegal in the next couple of years. And it won't even matter what the government says about them, because all of the networks that run advertising platforms are basically banning them. Facebook doesn't want to do that. They've fought tooth and nail. Google has gone the other direction and said, we're all for this. We're never going to build a product again that tracks people across the internet. Apple has taken things into their own hands and just said, you know, we're the most valuable company in the world. We make smartphones. Everybody has, you know, what, you know, X percentage of the world has an iPhone, and everybody that has an iPhone is now going to get the opportunity to say no to cookies.
Now,
let
me ask further on that little point there. So there's this change. It's, you know, the version is iOS 14.5, which we expect to launch sometime in April or May of this year, which is 2021. So what is it? What is the exact type of activity that Apple is going to say to the user, this is what's happening? And then how are they going to say it, and what do we expect the user to do?
So once you update your iPhone to this system, you're going to get a pop-up that's going to come up the first time you open any app that would normally track your data. And there's a lot of apps. So every social media platform and most games, because they run ads through the Google network or the Facebook audience network or Twitter, they all have audience networks. So all the games, anything that tracks your information, browsers, whatever it may be. And that pop-up is going to say, are you going to allow this app to track your data? Do you want to allow this app to track your data? And it's complicated, but at the most base level, without getting too in the weeds about it, if you say no, you basically become a cipher to any advertisers. And the reporting on what you do, including valuable actions you take, like buy stuff, opt in for webinars or whatever it is, that information won't be tracked by the platform. That would be against the privacy policy.
Right.
So, but it is important to note that we don't know what the adoption rate's going to be. I think we all sort of are assuming the worst as far as advertisers go. And I should get into in a little bit here why this even matters to advertisers. Right. Because it's beyond reporting. But right.
Really quick, yeah. Just zoom in on the consumer level before we go to kind of zoom out and look at why this affects advertisers. You know, to confirm, like, this is every app, right? This is going to be Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, Snapchat. They're going to ask you this for every single app, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's probably some apps that it won't ask you for. I mean, if they don't track your data or have a need to track your data, right. And there are some, then they won't. Like, I don't know, the Brave browser, for example, may not, I don't know, because their whole thing is that they don't track you. Right. So there might be some, but yes, I mean, you know, it's likely to be 80% or so of apps. I mean, often.
Right. And just to kind of follow up on that, then from the audience point of view, so I say, no, you cannot track my data. Then what happens? Do I start, you know, like getting advertisements for Viagra and porn sites, which as a woman in her 30s, I never get? And do men start getting birth control and like, you know, fertility treatment treatment ads?
That's a very good question. And I rarely get asked it as much as I get asked about this stuff. So the answer is no. You're not going to get Viagra ads, but eventually you will. because, you know, it's just not overnight. I mean, Facebook still has massive amounts of data on you. So they're not going to go sending you completely irrelevant stuff. It's basically a slow erosion of data over time. From a consumer point of view, when you're opting out, yes, you're opting out of targeted advertising, which means that, for example, you're much less likely to go to a site on your phone and then go to Instagram and see an ad because you can't be retargeted anymore, assuming that you opted out when you, you know, went to your browser and Googled whatever it is to get retargeted. But if you click, if you opted out, for example, of iOS tracking, you clicked a Facebook ad. And by the way, I say Facebook and all this stuff just because they're fighting it. So this is the same thing for Google. You guys do YouTube ads, same thing for YouTube ads, whatever it may be. Somebody clicks an ad on a platform. They go to a site and they add something to their cart and they don't buy. Can you retarget that person? No, you can't, because they opted out. It's against the ATT framework. Not going to happen. That in Facebook terms is called a custom audience. They might be called that in Google too. I'm trying to remember.
So a couple follow-ups.
They're called remarketing audiences in Google. They're more broad.
Couple of follow-ups and just make sure people caught that. You said the ATT framework. So if they want to, people who are listening want to look up the ATT framework, not AT&T, ATT, that's a keyword that's going to get you some more info on this. And what are you advising your clients, Matt, at Guide Social Global? Is there like, you know, if you just do this one silver bullet solution, this is going to take everything back to the way the world used to be a few months ago, or is that not it?
I will never in my agency or my coaching programs or anything ever talk about a silver bullet. I promise you, there's no such thing. Uh-huh. What we're doing though to combat it is really changing our marketing strategy. Now, I mean, once again, just to be clear, you will not get the same message for every single app that you go to. The apps are allowed to, within reason, customize some of what you get. So I've seen, you know, because this has gone live in beta tests, and I think it might be live in Australia or New Zealand or one of those. Anyway, I've seen screenshots, and it doesn't just say, do you want to opt in or not? In fact, Facebook has their own pop-up that's also going to come up, and it's very clear in the pop-up that you are opting out of targeted advertising. Now, I still don't think people are going to opt in en masse, but it does, when we all saw that have been following it closely, how Facebook was wording it and how you were allowed to manipulate that message a bit, we saw that there was an opportunity for really marketing to go on Facebook's part. So we'll see what the opt-in rates are like. But there's really a few things that I'm telling everybody to prepare. Number one, video is more important than ever for two reasons. One is because it's retargetable. So even though you can't retarget people that go to websites if they opt out, you will be able to retarget them based on content that they consumed on the Facebook platform. So you'll be able to retarget them based on that. And, you know, you can move people through a sales funnel. And obviously YouTube, I would think you'd be able to be, because you can target people that have watched specific YouTube videos. I would think that would still be intact as well, although I haven't validated that one for sure. I've mostly been looking at Facebook. So there's that. The other thing is creative is going to be more important, because what's going to happen is these lookalike audiences, for example, and interest-based audiences are going to degrade over time. They operate on data. I mean, the more data you have, the better an audience they can create. And that's how Facebook does its thing. And of course, it's not just that. It's also what actions are people likely to take based on their history. Well, Facebook's just going to be throttled when it comes to the amount of data they'll actually have. So if Facebook has less data, that means that the audiences and optimizations get worse over time. And so since they get worse over time, you have to make better ads.
Yeah.
You can't just throw junk ads up there and just say, okay, well, Facebook, find me the right person at the right time. That's what that's what led to the drop shipping boom and all, and just generally the online boom, was that the algorithm was so good at finding the perfect people that you just throw junk up there sometimes, and one promise could do it all.
Right.
But not anymore. You're relying on the creative to actually move people down the sales funnel. So video, extremely important. So that's just one piece, but I don't want to run on forever. So I'll stop here first and see if you have any questions.
Yeah, let's dig in a little bit more on, and kind of actually let's zoom out a little bit more. It just feels like what you're saying is this is part of a larger ongoing trend that over time, like it's trending towards, it making it harder for advertisers to rely on tracking, on certain kinds of tracking in the long term. What do you think the industry as a whole should be doing to figure out alternatives? Maybe to your point, only a small percentage will adopt this, but it could become a trend where most people adopt this. What sort of things should we as an industry be hedging our bets on? Maybe coming up with working groups to study and look for other ways that we can still achieve our objectives.
There's many ways to weather the storm. The number one way is collecting more first party data, which means get more email addresses. And this is something that, info product businesses have been doing for a very long time, gathering, building a list. E-commerce businesses have typically not put a lot of work into building an email list. The really good ones have, and I don't want to take credit away from all of them, but generally it's been overlooked, right? It's been just sort of like, hey, if we can just get a great ads funnel working, that's all we need. That's not a good idea. You need to collect first party data and sell these people over email and focus on the lifetime value of your customer, not just the average order value of the customer. If you have a business online right now that is fully reliant on that first sale that comes in the door for $40 or $50 or $60, forget about it. I mean, you need to build a business with lots of products and services, lots of retention, where you can build a customer base over time. So if there is one thing that everybody should be doing to combat this, it's build your list.
Right. You were talking about retargeting earlier, and a lot of people who listen to this podcast are organic marketers as opposed to paid media marketers. Could you just explain how important retargeting and remarketing has been in the past and how this is going to change?
Yeah, it's going to change drastically. I think in some ways it's the biggest change. There's really two huge changes here. Number one, since Facebook isn't going to know nearly as well which campaigns are, and I say Facebook, I mean all of them, which campaigns are working and which ones are not, it can't auto-optimize. And so generally, ad performance is going to get worse. So it's not just reporting, it's all optimization. Two, retargeting is how a lot of advertisers make up their margins. So if, for example, the ideal cost per acquisition to get a customer in the door is, you know, $20, and you may, to a cold audience who doesn't have any relationship with your brand whatsoever, that may be $20. It may cost you $20 to acquire that cold customer. And you're like, yeah, it's not great, but you don't care as much because you know that that warm audience down the sales funnel that you'll retarget is coming in at, you know, I don't know, $7 or something. And so average those together and you're like, okay, so that's a CPA that I can deal with. I like that. That's good. That's awesome. It all averages out. I can scale that to the moon. Well, I mean, when you can't do that with retargeting now, you have to find other ways to build warm audiences. And that is where email comes in, and SMS, by the way. So that's my number one tip.
Perfect. All right. So let's talk about one of my favorite marketing terms, ROAS, which is return on ad spend. How will this affect calculating ROAS, which is something that as someone who works in this space is something clients always want to have?
I am like 100% beating the drum to all clients that I'm not reporting on ROAS anymore.
Ooh, it's not bold. I like it.
Well, I mean, it's, yeah, I mean, I'm just being real. Like, you know, I'm telling clients, like, listen, like, you're going to see data in Facebook, but I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to be off by 60%. So why do I even need to tell you this? At the end of the day, like, you hired us to grow your business. So let's come up with some metrics to figure out how we're growing your business. So where I'm sort of pivoting to is, I mean, you know, because my agency is in the e-commerce niche. In the coaching space, I work with all sorts of businesses, but for e-commerce purposes in the agency, we're just like, hey, like, let's look at your store revenue and let's look at how much we're spending on marketing. Many of us are using different terms for this. I'm calling it EMR, estimated marketing return, which is just basically spend divided by revenue. We're a growth agency, so we do email, SMS, and like store optimization and stuff too. So I feel more comfortable doing that, of course, because we're responsible for more than the ads. If I was responsible for just the ads, I would definitely have a bit more of an issue. And I would probably be thinking about pivoting my business slightly in these times, because it's going to be much harder to get results that you can prove going forward. But yeah, I'm not reporting on ROAS. I'm reporting on EMR, and I'm reporting on Klaviyo email marketing. I'm like direct Klaviyo revenue, direct SMS revenue, you know, store conversion rate data and general conversion rate data. And yeah, like just basically how much money is the business making versus how much money is the business spending?
And so I want to follow up on a couple of those terms. One of the terms I've heard you mention, which was new to me until I started watching your videos, was CAPI, like API with the C in front of it. And I wanted to ask you about that, but I also wanted you to tell us about Klaviyo, because as someone who hasn't focused on e-commerce, it's not been a platform I'm familiar in. And how that would compare with something like a ConvertKit. Why should somebody use a Klaviyo instead of a ConvertKit? What does it do differently? So those are my questions.
So what is you want to start with? What is
CAPI?
Yeah. CAPI just means server side reporting back to Facebook. So basically it tracks somewhat of what a pixel would or that third-party cookie would, except it sort of circumvents the system to sort of pass that information back through a different platform. That being said, this is all sort of murky. And again, this hasn't rolled out yet. We've been talking about it for ages. And it keeps getting pushed back, but it's definitely going to happen this month, or like very beginning of next month. But if it is my understanding that if a user opts out of tracking through the ATT framework, all of that, CAPI won't be able to get them either. It's still against the rules. So it's not really going to help all that much. With your day to day, as I understand it, I think what it will help more with is just Facebook getting more data in general. It's like doing your part to get Facebook more data, because some of the data that would be hidden will now be beamed back, for just more complete information. But, it's not going to do a ton to help us with optimization and reporting, as I understand it. And what was the other question?
Well, I wanted to ask you about Klaviyo, and I'm going to spell this because a hard spelling. Klaviyo. Tell us about Klaviyo and why that's helpful.
So Klaviyo is just a CRM, you know, like ActiveCampaign, like Infusionsoft, like
Is it Drip, customized better, you know, for e-commerce or for Facebook in particular?
Yeah, it's the number one choice for e-commerce because they're really in tight with Shopify. The integrations are really, really good, and 90% of stores are on Shopify. So they just talk to each other so well that it makes it extremely easy to put people into email sequences that are highly relevant to them based on what they've done on your site. So that's why I mentioned Klaviyo, just because most of the agency clients are e-commerce, so most of them are on Klaviyo.
For people who do online courses, is that the platform you'd recommend or another?
No, I wouldn't use that. For my coaching program and courses, I use Infusionsoft. Mm-hmm. I've always sort of been a fan of ActiveCampaign. Some people hate it. One that I've become recently aware of and started to mess with is Drip. I think Drip is actually really good for email marketing. I'm a big fan of Drip, but Drip is just email marketing. So if I was a coach, you gotta look at a sort of different feature set. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Usually it's a little more complicated. And you might want to have a sales CRM built into the platform, which you don't get with all of them, for example, right? Drip is just email, but ActiveCampaign does have a sales pipeline built into it. HubSpot does have a sales pipeline built into it. That's what we use for the agency side of things. We use HubSpot. So there's all sorts of different options.
All right. So you've also talked about something called a pop-up funnel. What is that and why use it?
Oh, you've been watching my YouTube channel?
We have.
Maybe. Thanks. I've been putting a lot of work into it. Yeah. So the pop-up funnel is just the funnel that I'm using for my e-commerce clients that we're building for them right now to circumvent, but to sort of beat the game here. So we're sprinting to build that all for our clients, and we're starting to launch them. But the idea behind this funnel, it's right in lockstep with what I've been talking about. It's all about collecting first party data. So the basic idea is, instead of relying so much on optimizations, we make better creative. We leverage other platforms for cold traffic that aren't necessarily as expensive as something like Facebook, but we also use Facebook. But some of the CPMs have been insane on Facebook lately. So, we're going to be testing TikTok, Snapchat, and Pinterest as well in this first round. And the basic idea is there's an offer that is an irresistible, awesome offer. And we talk about it in the ad. And then when people go to the page, they know that that's what they're going to is the offer. So we're keeping the scent, right? Marketing over ads all day long, right? Like marketing strategy will always beat some ad. You know, I mean, like ads are a piece of the marketing strategy. They're not alone anything, right? So you bring them to that page. And then when they get there, the idea is they can't unlock this offer or even really look at much of the page without putting in their email address. So they put in their email address to unlock the offer. It slides over to another opt-in. This one's optional to opt in for SMS. And this is to win a contest or something. And then they can unlock the page. They've got their offer and they can go in and buy this thing. And we're building custom landing pages for all of our clients right now, just for this, that is built to take people from cold to sold. So it's not, you know, it's built for cold traffic. You can't talk to cold traffic same way you talk to hot traffic. It's built for people that don't have any relationship with your brand, barely know what it is. They saw an ad, they were intrigued, they came. And this landing page is meant to counter all their objections, help them, help the problem become solidified in their mind, help the solution become obvious, and then take them to the sale. And we get their email address, and hopefully this will be a really high opt-in rate. We get their email address, and that's how we close them. That's how that's what we do instead of retargeting. We close them over email. And if we don't use email, well, we will be using email, but we can also add those people to custom audiences in Facebook to retarget them, because we'll be able to use automatic advanced matching. Klaviyo and Facebook talk directly to each other. You can just send it an email list and say, go find these people and retarget them. And since it's first party data, it's all cool in iOS 14. So it's just sort of an iOS 14 killer funnel. Right. I'm excited about it.
Right. So, you know, what I hear you saying here, just an amazing assembly of tips here. Video is going to continue to increase in importance. Your email list and getting your customers on email and engaging them directly, that's going to be important. And then also more drilling down and knowing what each of your sources are going to be, from cold to hot to warm traffic, and knowing that those are possibly going to come from different places in general. Let's, Matt Johnson, tell us more about where people can find Guide Social Global and your YouTube channel and your podcast, so people can keep up to date on all these things you're talking about.
Yeah, main website for me is mattjohnstononline.com, Johnston with a T. The agency is guidesocialglobal.com. Podcast is the Video Marketing Podcast. New episodes on Friday mornings, and
which I was on. Channel, check out me on that podcast. I was on it.
Yeah, 2 or 3 weeks ago, something like that. Search for me on YouTube. You'll find me there. I that's the main platform that I'm focusing on these days, is building my YouTube channel. So you can certainly find me there. Thanks so much for having me on.
Thank you, Matt Johnston. My name is Dane Golden with my co-host, Gwen Miller, and we want to thank you, the listener, for joining us today. Right, Gwen?
Yeah, I learned a lot today, actually, that I did not know.
And if you like this podcast, please review us on Apple Podcast. You just have to click those three dots. And Gwen and I do this podcast and our various other projects because we love helping marketers and business owners just like you do YouTube and video marketing better. Thanks to our special guest, Matt Johnston. Thank you, Matt.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Until next week, here's to helping you help your customers through video.